This is NetVets, a series exploring the knowledge, challenges, and experiences of Boy Scout veterans. I am Kurt Goodsky, and I'm sitting here with Stan Day for NetVets.
I signed up in Everett, Washington, 1964. Well, I signed up because I got my draft notice that spring, and they deferred my leaving until September.
How did you feel about the draft? I mean, were you for the war, against the war?
I really hadn't given it much thought. I was still kind of immature, I guess. I didn't think much about the war effort or anything else. I didn't, but I felt that it was my duty to go. I was 18. Okay, in boot camp, I had a girlfriend and we were informally engaged. I would have been done with my enlistment by the time she was done with college, and so that's what we planned on. During boot camp, I got a letter from her. She'd never dated anybody else, and she asked me before I left. She was in college, and one of her girlfriends had someone they knew that wanted to go on a date. Could she go? I said, certainly. She enjoyed herself, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
And so then I was pretty hurt about that. And then when we got home, I broke up with her. But her parents were glad because they once told me that they didn't want any brown grandchildren, and they tried to stifle the relationship anyway. So they were happy. And there was another girl that I dated just briefly that summer, and she was just broke up with her boyfriend, and so we're both on the rebound, I guess, and we hitched up and we got married on that leave. And so then I asked for a 2-week extension, and they gave me a week, I think. With the holiday travel, I lived in Everett, Washington, which is about 36 miles north of Seattle. And so then when I knew I was going to be late, I went to the nearest naval command, and that was a naval air station in Seattle. They issued me a ticket to stay a few more days, and so I did, which put me AWOL at my new duty station. And they didn't tell me that the TR wasn't free. And so when I went to my first duty station, they waived the court-martial for the Caribbean UA, but it was on my record. And a couple of weeks later, I didn't get a check when everybody else got theirs. And so I went to the dispersing officer and asked why that was. And he said, well, you're not going to get a check for 4 or 5 months. And I didn't take that too well. I hitchhiked home. I hitchhiked to Seattle from Pax River, Maryland, which is south of D.C., about 50 miles. After I was home for a couple of weeks, a chief of police, whom I knew in the little town that I lived in, he called me and said, Stan, you got to go back. He said, just take another day or so and then come on down and I'll say that you turned yourself in. I said, okay, that's fair. So I did. And I went back on another TR.
What do you mean TR?
Travel requisition. And it comes out of your pay. And I didn't have any income. I got there in January and she came there in early February. And we lived off base in Navy housing, and she got pregnant. And then a month later, we got in a fight, and her dad sent her a plane ticket. And we had her allotment to live on while she was there. But then again, after she left, I'm broke, and so I'm kind of a hot-headed character. I was back then. I lived in a rage it would pop out real quick if I was provoked. I took a hop to San Diego. I couldn't get a flight going north, so I hitchhiked from San Diego up to Everett. Once again, I overstayed my leave. You know, I'm not getting paid. Anyway, I went to the brig, and I was under house arrest, and I went over the wall, and I walked all the way home. And so this is the third time, and I got 3 months in the brig. And during that time, my Navy lawyer, when he heard my story, he thought he could do something for me. My lawyer said that I probably wouldn't be deemed fit for duty anyway. So he worked on getting me a general under honorable conditions, and I accepted that. I think they could have been a little forthright in explaining things to me.
Soldier boy, soldier boy. NetVets was produced by the Net Lake Radio Project and made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.